Is This a Ghost is sponsored this week by the love that exists between two of our listeners, Chris and Allison Domino.
Their love has a sponsorship?
Their love has a price, and it's $25.
Dang, their love has a checkbook. I'm digging this.
Now, you'll probably remember, Patrick, a few weeks ago, your wife opened a bit of a Pandora's box when she paid for a sponsorship for Beef Feast.
Beef Feast. Is it? First you beef. Beef
Feast, yes.
And then you feast.
Then you feast. Yeah. We all remember that. And then I made the mistake of saying, hey, if anyone wants to sponsor an episode, you can, just like Amy did. And then now some people...
No scruples.
We don't. Zero. And so I'm excited to announce that this episode is sponsored indeed by the Dominoes, who are celebrating 10 years of wedded bliss.
Oof, man.
This month of August. Now, Chris reached out to me to ask if we would record a very special anniversary celebratory sponsorship for Allison. And I will say, what are you typing?
Nothing at all.
Are you Googling nothing, Chris and Allison Domino?
I am not.
It's not appropriate. You let me know when you're ready because you seem very busy.
No, totally fine. Totally fine.
Okay. and I will say, I know Allison. Allison, and I did not know, so here's the whole story. Allison was, I don't know Chris, I've never met Chris in person. Mm-hmm. Allison, however, was one of my first ever students at Columbia. The first one or two semesters that I was a full-time college professor for the first time, she was in my class. So we go back, technically speaking, quite a while. Ooh. And she was great. She was wonderful. And she's one of those students who really made me think like, oh, I made a good decision. I like doing this and people are great and students are fine. Huh. Now, not every student since Allison has been
that way.
Yeah. But she actually, in some ways, I guess, she's to blame.
Interesting.
For what happened to my life.
I'm really confused because you still made her pay the $25. Like, this is a very sweet story.
Well, I did not make her. I made Chris. And you'll note, I said I'd never met Chris. So... I can't look. That's his fault.
Chris is climbing the Domino's ranks though at the moment because he apparently
is
willing to part with $25.
Think of it this way though. One of them paid us $25. One of them paid me $80,000 that I did not see all of that, but I saw some of it because I was part of that tuition.
Interesting. Hear that, Chris? You hear that?
Anyway, Chris reached out. And he wanted to say happy anniversary to Allison after 10 years. And I said, Chris, do you have, do you have something you'd like us to say specifically? Or do you want us to kind of do our thing?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he said, please don't do your thing.
Right.
Because he listens to the show. Mm-hmm. He knew better than that. So Chris has sent us some words to say. And I'm going to read something here. And I want to make it very clear to everyone, especially Allison, and especially Aaron, and especially Amy. Mm-hmm. That these are Chris's words to Allison, not anyone else saying any of this stuff.
Maybe, just a thought. Spitballing here.
Yeah.
Maybe if you want to make it more clear these aren't your words, maybe you should say them in a different voice.
I don't know, Chris. What does Chris's voice sound
like? It doesn't matter. Sure. That's the thing. It doesn't matter. No. The check is not cleared yet. Let's not do that.
Okay.
I think maybe the Perry voice. Would be a good voice.
Okay, while I channel the character, do you want to explain to, I assume, every single person who's not us on this podcast?
Absolutely. Happily. There was a fantastic character on an old cartoon show called Home Movies, and the character, it was two characters. It was two best friends, Walter, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Perry. Mm-hmm. Two very... very high-pitched little boys who were just
very
in love with each other.
Boys.
Very earnest. They tried their damnedest. They loved each other, and they never quit. They never said die. And even when they were pinned underneath of an apple cart at the end of an episode, they just never stopped. And their voices were
hear it in my head right now.
Oh, so distinct. And so I wonder if maybe you could channel the voice of Walter or Perry.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
for this ad read.
That makes sense, actually, because I will want to cut in with some editorial comment here, and that's how you'll know that it's like either me or Chris talking.
Again, I'm just trying to solve the world's problems here.
So. I appreciate it, Pat. Mm-hmm. All right, great idea. Good idea, actually. In hindsight, I discounted it at first, but good idea. Here we go. Well, it's been 10 years of marriage. Which apparently means tin or aluminum. Since these aren't really the most romantic entries to the periodic table, how about a numerically satisfying top 10 list?
What would be the most romantic metal, though? That's my question.
Most romantic metal, for sure. Steel.
Yeah. I
mean, that's getting in there for sure.
Stainless steel, specifically.
Absolutely. You're going to want to take a towel to it after. Just, for sure.
Maybe just take it into the shower with you. Just clean it all the way off.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Chris continues. Here are my top 10 you things. And Patrick, at this point, I would like to send you. Actually, I have a top 10 list here, and I want to send you it to you. I thought we would go back and forth. Like, I'll read one, you read one. I'll read one, you read one.
Love it. For the I 10. Love it.
So it's in your email now. You can open that up.
Okay.
I'll start with number 10, and then you will we'll alternate. Let me know when you're ready.
Wonderful.
Now, this should continue in the Perry.
Absolutely. Walter
voices.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. So am I starting at number 10?
Chris
10?
Is very happy about ease.
Am I starting at number 10?
No, I'll do 10. You do 9.
Okay. No, that's too bad because I really wanted to do 10, but you go right ahead.
Don't worry. It'll all even out later. Number 10. You are even hotter in real life than your pictures on the dating website belied, which like never happens.
Number 9.
You are so kind and generous to strangers and those less fortunate, which is just as endearing as it is expensive. I should have made this clear earlier. There are no refunds on the sponsorships. Number 8. I love how your character combines the best parts of being girly with the best parts of being bro-y.
Ooh, what does that mean?
I'll tell you later, Walter.
Number 7.
You are always enriching my taste in music. I promise I'll learn how to dance one day. No, you won't. Number 6. I mean, no one has ever built me a house before, so that whole thing is pretty sweet.
Number 5.
You are almost as passionate as Clayton. It's very nice. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Walter. Number 4. You are almost as funny as Patrick.
You are. Number 3.
You are effortlessly beautiful. It takes us so much work. You did it, Allison. Number 2. You are inspirationally sincere.
Number 1.
My darling doodle, I just never thought it could be this good here under the apple cart with you. Walter? Walter?
Yes?
I'm under the apple cart, Perry.
Thank you so much.
Oh, it continues. Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you. One more. There's one more line here. I love you. And I love doing this thing with you.
Oh.
Ooh. That was fine, right?
Good for them. Yeah.
Pretty good. And congratulations to Chris and Allison Domino. Congratulations to both of you truly on 10 years of marriage. More than I've gotten so far. Not like some total. Like,
you're two together. Neck and neck.
Yeah. I'm over it a little bit, but if you take just one, that's very impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So happy anniversary and sorry about how this went, but again, it's not refundable.
Yep.
Thank you. everybody. Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every single week here on this podcast, I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously.
But who doesn't have brain worms.
So far as we know.
Well, I mean, I guess you don't know until someone tells you, but I'm pretty sure
you've taken a corpse of a bear cub and placed it under a bicycle in Central Park. And then 10 years later, someone's like, why'd you do that? And you're like, oh, I guess I'll tell the entire mainstream media about it.
But first, I'll tell Roseanne Barr. That's who I'll tell first.
God, of all the people to look horrified by a story, if you're telling, listen, here's just a general piece of advice. If you're telling Roseanne Barr's story and she looks horrified, you're beyond the pale.
Yeah. There's your litmus test right there.
This election cycle is, I don't know if it's, to say it's the gift that keeps on giving feels wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Doesn't feel like we're benefiting from it in a substantial way.
It's exciting.
It's so fun.
It's like if your Christmas tree keeps catching on fire. Like the first time you're like, oh, well, that was, you know, what a weird thing. Anyway, the fire's out. Most of the presents are still here. And then by like the seventh time the Christmas tree catches on fire, it's getting a little worrisome. You know?
Still interesting, though.
Sure, of course. Yeah. Never
very stops worrisome, but also
still a fire in the den.
Still, you know? Still so interesting. And that's what's going on right now. You are voting for him still, right? You said you were.
Which one? What am I voting for?
RFK. Right. That's your guy.
Yeah. I mean, I live in Missouri, so my vote doesn't count for literally anything. Mm-hmm. So I just try and vote with subterfuge in mind. Well, throw them off the scent, you know? They're like,
Ahead. No, please.
When they come in and they're like, oh, were you like to register? Would you like the primary ballot for Republican or for Democrat? I say, oh, I would like the primary ballot for zoo animal, actually. That's what I would like.
I don't know. It's hard to tell. Which one had the brain worm for a while?
Yeah. Can I just have that ballot? I'm just going to go just party line.
Brain worm 24?
Yeah, straight down the ballot. Brain worm all the way down.
Brain worm. Mm-hmm. Just brain worm. I live in Virginia now, of course, and which is actually a pretty consequential state. It's a purple state, so that, you know, the votes mean a lot more here than they did in Illinois or Missouri. Mm-hmm. And the other day I was downtown in Stanton and I saw a car with an RFK Jr. bumper sticker and I thought, God, what must your life be like to be living in this place and to think, yep, I want to tell the world, like I'm so on board with RFK Jr. That he's got my bumper.
Yeah. There's only so much room on that bumper. So you got to have like the RFK Jr. sticker, right? Mm-hmm. You got to have the I Still Believe Sasquatch sticker, right?
Sure.
Of course.
Sure. I mean, sure.
Yeah. And then probably some sort of like conspiracy website sticker on top of that. So really all I can think of.
It's got to be, it's hand in glove, right?
And then the throwback KC95 sticker on this.
Certainly, yeah. I did grow up outside of St. Louis, and I love to rock! Boy. Well, we are now, 90 days away as we record?
Oh, my God. It cannot.
93, 94?
It cannot be fast enough. I've had to turn off. accepting text messages from unknown senders on my phone. I've had to turn off accepting phone calls from unknown phone numbers on my phone. I had to turn off almost all notifications on every platform. It is completely insane. Maybe after the primary is over, they will, you know, and Missouri no longer matters for anything. Maybe that'll be interesting. But
first of all, it's so wild there's still primaries going on because the general is in 2 months.
Yeah.
3 months, 3 months. But the person, actually the candidate I get the most calls for is Cori Bush.
It's interesting. And cause that's like,
I keep telling them, every time they call, I'm like, listen, it's great. Mm-hmm. Yes, please. Mm-hmm. I have not, that's two states from my life. Like I haven't lived there in so long.
Behind at this point. I'm afraid.
I'm so far removed and they keep calling me. Mm-hmm. And they keep texting me and I don't want to remove because I want to, you know, I want to, I don't want her numbers to go down. Cause again, like I think, you know, Missouri needs Cori.
Sure. Right.
For sure. But I also just like
can't do
much. You're barking at the wrong tree. This is not. And I told one guy called and he was like, oh, you know, we're just seeing if people phone bank for Cori Bush. And I said, listen, I'm on board for Cori for sure. Voted for her when I was in St. Louis, mm-hmm. but that was two states ago. Yeah. And I got my hands full here with Tim Kaine and Kamala and some other things. Yeah. I'm doing a lot in Virginia. And he goes, oh, I'm from Virginia, but I came to St. Louis to stump for Cori. And I said, I hate to be the one to tell you this, but I don't know if that was actually a good move for you. and he laughed, but God love him.
Yeah.
God love, he's doing, it's great work. Yeah. Great work. But, Missouri's a lost cause.
I get the ones about, you know, hey, can we expect your, can we guarantee your vote for Cori in the primary? I was like, oh yeah, of course. Yeah. This is, yeah. Of course, I'm voting for Cori in the primary. Okay, and then can I get you to like maybe text like five people you know and see if you can get them? And I said, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I don't encounter five people throughout my day that are going to vote in the Democratic primary. Just not to put too much of a cherry on top for you, but that's not really the life I lead at the moment. Yeah. So
here's where I work. Yeah. Here's where I'm from. So I don't think I'm the one to help you. I also keep getting text messages, and I don't know why, from one of the Republican Missouri candidates, which is confusing because not only have I not lived in Missouri for so long, but also I don't vote Republican and have not.
I think they just throw a wide net at this point. I think they're just.
But it's like, this guy, you know, my opponent is a liberal cuck, even though the opponent is a Republican.
Yeah.
You know, in the primary, he's also a Republican. So he's also doing things I very much don't agree with.
Yeah.
But I get whoever this fucking guy is like, my opponent's a liberal cuck and here's what he does and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I just had to tell him like, look, listen, can't vote here anymore. If I were in Missouri still, I would not vote Republican. If I were in Missouri and were going to vote Republican, I guess it would be your opponent, because what you're saying now sounds actually pretty good.
Yeah. You know?
And they still hit me. They still keep texting me. So it's got to stop.
Mm.
The algorithm is broken.
You know what I think it might be time for, Clayton?
What's that?
Bird facts.
It is time for bird facts. I'm so mad that I forgot about bird facts. All right. Do you want to explain bird facts in case anyone is unfamiliar with bird facts?
I think everyone knows what bird facts is, but I can, you know, for the one or two
just in
people.
Case.
Maybe Chris doesn't know what bird facts are. Bird facts is a phenomenon where if you receive unsolicited text messages from a phone number, not from like some spammy email address or whatever the shit, from like an actual legitimate phone number, and you're relatively certain there's a human being on the other end of that line, as soon as you receive that unsolicited text message about politics or selling your home or, you know, testosterone pills, whatever, you immediately respond back with, you know, in all caps, thank you for subscribing to Bird Facts. And then every 60 minutes, you text them a new, completely fabricated fact about birds until eventually a real human being responds and says, please stop texting me, or just blocks your phone number. Either way.
Mm-hmm. And when they say, please stop texting me, then you respond, thank you for confirming your subscription to Bird Facts. Here are twice the number of bird facts. And then you do it every 30 minutes.
Right. The best part is also at the very end of each text, you have to write out, reply, stop, to end your subscription to Bird Facts. But do not recognize the word stop when they send it back to you. That is not valid.
Yep.
So
you are correct. That is what I should be doing. I feel like a fool for forgetting.
So what I would recommend, again, not too much of a life hack here. You go into your iPhone dictionary, right? Where you can like set up like shorthand for different phrases or whatever. And you write out maybe 10 or 12 bird facts in there. With just like very short prompts like BF1, BF2, BF3, BF7. That way, when you want to send bird facts very, very quickly to somebody, you can do so.
What if that counteracts your previous notes you'd put up about beefy fact one, beefy fact two, which are like
capital.
Beefy boys love wearing tank tops.
So you're the one that runs that mailing list?
I just asking for a friend.
I mean, do I still have to pay the $5.95 if I already know you?
It's actually going up pretty soon.
Shit.
Still worth it, though. All right. Well, that's way too much of all that stuff. Do you want to hear a ghost story?
Oh, do we have time?
I don't think so, but we'll see if we can squeeze it in. Now, this story, I will say, was suggested by a listener, Caroline Jones.
Hey.
So thank you, Caroline. Now, Caroline is British, but we like her okay.
I mean, she's fine. I mean, we, no big secret, we left. You know, like we weren't.
We're not really like part of that, but also it means we're not really into that. But, you know,
wasn't our bag.
Some are fine.
A little tired of soup every day. Seems like a lot. So.
Now, I would say if there's one reason that would bring me back, it would be soup every day. Because I love soup. Love soup.
Fair enough.
Anyway, let's hear a ghost story.
Ding. Ding.
Ding.
Dong.
Now, it's been a while since we've done a good Great Lakes ghost story.
Oh, I love the haunted Great Lakes.
It's been a while. I looked back, this feels like, can't possibly be right, but I think the last time we did a Great Lakes ghost story was episode 25, which is almost 100 episodes ago.
Oof.
That was the, do you remember which one it was?
Was that the one with the, like the port? Like the logging port, and they kept dumping all the dead, like diseased bodies on the edge of the on the end of the port. And it turned it turned into a graveyard of like the smallpox victims or something like that.
Yeah, there was an element of that to it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds right. Smallpox, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing smallpox bodies off into the lakes. That does sound right. Yeah. Because I think the last time we did this was the Ghost of South Manitou Island.
Mm,
and I think that one was like, we had like, here are all the different ghosts that we have.
Yeah.
And some of them were smallpox ghosts.
Yes.
One of them was a shipwreck. There was like a lighthouse, I think. Mm-hmm. It was a cornucopia of ghosts. So it's been a while. And that was Lake Michigan. But this week's story comes to us from Lake Superior.
Oh, it's still not the scariest of the Great Lakes.
Oh, you don't think so?
No. Do you know which one of the scariest the Great Lakes is?
Please tell me.
Lake Erie.
Okay. So, yeah, I know. I walked right into that one. So here are some fun facts.
Wham!
Okay, we'll take it from the top. Okay, here are some fun facts.
Wham!
That's too fast. Let's try it one more time. Here are some fun facts.
Wham!
Fine. About Lake Superior. We'll get there. We'll, you know, work on it after the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's the largest freshwater lake in the world by surface area.
Hmm.
It contains 10% of the entire world's freshwater. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it's ripe for ransoming to me.
For ransoming?
Yeah, exactly. I bet the world would miss 10% of its fresh water, wouldn't it?
Oh, ransoming.
Ransoming. Yeah, ransoming.
Like ransom, but a verb.
Yes.
It is
a verb. It's a verb. I'm verbing it. Yeah.
Well, they said ransoming. I thought, is that like a bacteria? Like ransoming?
Yes. Yeah, we're going to make the whole thing rancid. People will get so mad about it.
And they would. And they would.
Absolutely. They'd be done at 90% of the world's fresh water at that point. They'd be like, we can't keep letting this happen.
Lake Superior could hold all the water from the other Great Lakes plus three additional Lake Eries, which is the scariest.
Wait, how would that even work?
So it's like you put all the other Great Lakes into Lake Superior.
Right. But isn't it already
Lake Superior in that scenario?
Isn't it already full though? Like it's already full to the top.
In that scenario, it's empty. It's empty. It's you drain it
out. Oh, if you take it, and then you add
the gone away.
My bad.
This water has been infected with ransoming, so we're getting it out.
Yeah, so it's like when the pool is just you can't save the pool anymore. You know?
Yeah. You drain the pool.
Yeah. So the pool is drained, then you put all the other Great Lakes into it, and then three more Eries.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
And Superior is like, bring it.
Mm-hmm.
It takes 551 billion gallons of water to raise the water level of Lake Superior 1 inch.
Whew.
It's a big fucking lake. It's huge. Mm-hmm. The water in Lake Superior could cover all of North and South America in 1 foot of water.
Really?
Which is just what, I mean, man, that's a lot. It's just so much. And finally, and this one is important. Superior is the coldest of the Great Lakes with an average temperature between 36 and 39 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, that's too cold. That seems too cold.
It is too cold, Patrick. Yeah. And we'll talk about why it's too cold today. That, by the way, for our for all our colonizers out there, that's 2 to 4 degrees Celsius. So that's cold. I don't know what that means, but it's cold water. Now, this all brings us to November of 1927. The weather starts to get pretty chilly in November in North America, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. And in 1927, Lake Superior, well, it starts to ice over pretty early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
This tends to bring shipping season to a standstill.
Oh, thank goodness. Spring. All the seamen can go home. You know, they don't have to, you know, they can stand down.
Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. Flow back in. Mm-hmm. Go back.
Yeah, go back exactly. Go back from whence you came.
Yeah.
Go on. Okay. I'm.
So it's customary for shipping companies to try to move as much freight as possible before winter sets in.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, because you want to, you know, we're going to be shut down for a few months. Like we got to, let's keep going.
Yeah.
This may or may not, but may be part of the reason why there are an estimated 10,000 shipwrecks in the Great Lakes.
Everyone's in such a hurry.
Yeah. And I will note that estimate is probably low because it's like based on the number they've found.
Mm-hmm.
And they have not found a whole lot. Like they know there are more out there.
Yeah. I can't imagine, you know, a bunch of these ships in the turn of the 20th century had like black boxes or GPS beacons or even a flare gun. It was pretty much just, oh, we sent out 10 ships, 7 came back.
I'm doing this. I'm saying, yeah. I'm signaling for help.
I'm getting lower and lower and lower.
As my hands get closer to the water, yeah. That's bad.
Yeah.
You got it? You got it? Oh.
It's very, very cold water.
So they do estimate that there are only between 350 and 600 shipwrecks in Lake Superior, which I guess is good. Although if you're estimating between 350 and 600, it's very clear. You have no fucking clue how many ships are down there.
That's one of those where like you search 1 square mile and you're like, okay, I find 1 shipwreck in 1 square mile. How many square miles is Lake Superior?
There's only 7 shipwrecks down here.
Yeah, it's great. Really not bad. I don't know what everybody's complaining about.
So anyway, it's November 1927, and shipping companies, they are now just ramming through every boat they can get until it can't rams no more. Which I think is how you probably, I don't know how you would actually tell like when the lake is too cold to send ships through at this mm-hmm. point, other than you're going to send ships through until one gets stuck. And you're like, we pushed it.
Yep.
That's us. That's on us. That's on us.
Canary in the coal mine right there. All those dead sailors.
There's a Calvin and Hobbes comic strip where Calvin asks his dad how do they know like how much weight a bridge can take And Calvin's dad tells him, well, they build a bridge and they drive heavier and heavier trucks over until one of them breaks the bridge and they write it down and then they rebuild the bridge and that's how they know.
Mm.
And I feel like that's probably how they determine this on the Great Lakes.
10 ships out, 10 ships back. 10 ships out, 10 ships back. 10 ships out, no ships back. All right, well.
Okay. Okay.
Lake's closed.
Okay, okay.
Lake is closed. It's too cold.
Did anyone write that down? Yeah. No? Ah, well, we'll try again next year. So it was that in late November in 1927, the SS Kamloops, Kamloops.
Okay.
Kamloops.
Sounds like a
Kamloops.
Like the precursor to Fruit Loops.
Feels like a breakfast cereal.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. Sure does. The SS Kamloops was smacked on the ass and out across the Great Lakes, and they said, good luck. Now, the Kamloops was a steamship. It was built by Furness Shipping Shipbuilding Company in Haverton Hill, in Stocking-on-Tees, in Durham, in England. It's way too many places to be from.
You could just say England. I really don't know about the rest of it. It's fine.
But this is this was suggested by a Brit. So I want to, you know, I'm being
that's fine.
I'm pandering, I guess.
I frankly, yes.
I'm going to be told by her that these were pronounced wrong. And the campus was, it was commissioned by Steamships Limited of Montreal, Quebec. Did I do that right? Montreal.
Steamships Limited. Like there's some sort of exclusive thing to do with these steamships.
Yeah. We could do three, maybe four. I don't know.
We can't let everybody have a steamship. We got to have them seem a little exclusive. You know,
we know you all want steamships. We get it. Oh, we know.
We can never let them know that these steamships cost nothing to produce.
We got them off Temu and they were so cheap. We can't tell them. Remind me, they get mad when you say Montreal, right? They're like, they like it.
Mario. I couldn't tell what any of them were saying, frankly. They might have been mad. I mean, it was all French. We've been there together before. It sounds mad all the time anyway. So.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, we did it wrong. Mm-hmm.
Like, I just want to buy some gas, guy. I don't really know what's going on.
Gasoline! Petrol!
Was that a yes?
Is that okay?
Did you take Visa? Yeah, no? Good. No Visa? Good. Yes, Visa?
Anyway... That's how Canada works. Now, the Kamloops was only 250 feet long, which makes it a pretty small ship for the Great Lakes. This is Greek Lakes. That's not right. I think we're still in the Great Lakes in 1920. So only 250 feet long, not a big ship, but it was specifically designed to fit inside the locks of the canals of the Great Lakes.
Oh, in the
St. Lawrence River.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
So, you know, there are, what, 5 Great Lakes?
Yes, now.
Feels right, right?
Yeah, sure.
And they're connected. Some of them, I think, flow more easily into each other than others, but they're all connected by,
water.
By canals.
Yeah.
Yes, water, thank you. But
I didn't know which word you were reaching for, so I'm just trying to help. Water, they fill all the lakes with water.
Well, one of them's got water. The other's got water. I think it connects them is a mountain. Yeah. Is that right?
No? And then the fifth one.
Lava.
One
I think it's lava.
That one we call Molasses Lake because of the molasses.
Christ. No, I know it's water. It's just canals. So they're all connected by canals. And the canals sometimes have locks. And I think we've talked about locks on this show before.
Yeah, absolutely. Locks and dams and fish screws. Yeah, we've talked about all these things.
We're not going to go back into it. So it's designed to fit in the locks, which makes the perfect Great Lakes ship. So the Kamloops was ready for this. It had 2 masts and a 1,000 horsepower triple expansion steam engine with Scotch boilers.
Woo, man!
And now, as an engineer, Patrick, you please tell us what that means.
Oh well, I mean, ships are super boring, so they would fill these great tureens with Scotch before they would leave England, right?
Mm-hmm.
To give people something to do on that extremely boring 6-month trip over to the States. Uh-huh. And by the time they got over here to the States, the Scotch was mostly gone. They would fill it back up with corn whiskey and they would take it back to England. So,
and that's called trade?
That is called trading, yes.
And that's called, I think, NAFTA?
It's part of NAFTA, yes. Yeah.
Now, so they boiled the Scotch? Because these are Scotch boilers. It's
distilling. You know, it's, I'm sorry. I don't want to get too,
Okay. All right. That makes sense. All right. Thank you for explaining it to me. So the Kamloops was considered a canaler, which, according to my notes app, is not an actual word, but it was obviously made to go through canals.
And how is canaler spelled?
Well, according to the internet, C-A-N-A-L-L-E-R.
Mm-hmm.
How would you spell it?
No, that sounds, I wouldn't pronounce it canaler, but yeah, canaler sounds right.
Canier.
Sure.
Canier. Canaler.
Sure.
What do you want from me?
I don't want anything from you. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Finally. So the Kamloops was built to sail through the canals. Blah, blah, blah. It was meant to bring freight to all Canadian ports. Hmm. This is a quote. Her chief duty was carrying manufactured goods from Montreal up the lakes to Thunder Bay, Ontario.
Ooh.
She would start in Montreal and she would go over the Great Lakes, boop, 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 mm-hmm. this way and that way and around, and then all the way to Thunder Bay, Ontario, which is, I didn't look, but is in a place that I guess is hard to get to.
Sounds like a super cool place. Like somebody got there.
I mean, Thunder Bay is a cool name for sure. In the 20s, Canada was still part of the British Empire, so the Kamloops and other ships like it were integral in the supply chain because these all brought goods over from Europe. Mm-hmm. So they would send, England would send things over to America, to North America,
right,
on like real boats,
right,
and then little cute boats like the Kamloops would take that stuff and they would then like go boop 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 through the lakes and try to deliver it around.
And what sorts of things do you think England was exporting in the 1920s to the New World?
Humans.
Mm-hmm. Culture.
Gosh, what else? Wigs? I'd say wigs, probably.
I say, yeah, wigs, toffee.
Oh, for sure, toffee.
Yeah,
it's so mostly. That one I accept.
It's probably mostly toffee.
Yeah. So this was the ship they sent out in late November to try to make one last run through the Great Lakes. Now, the Kamloops was not new to the idea of a last-ditch winter voyage, unfortunately, for that boat. The previous year, 1926, that boat had, quote, ended the season stuck in the ice in the St. Mary's River.
Mm.
Not good.
Sure.
Not ideal.
Mm-hmm. Were they there, like, the whole time, I guess?
Well, everyone got off the boat.
Ah, okay. And they just let the scotch freeze on board. They're like, fuck it.
They took they said, I will take as much scotch as my mouth can carry, and I will go back to shore. So everyone took their turn. They opened up their mouth. They unhinged their jaws, and they let it pour in. And they said, I want to go. And they went over. And, you know, you do what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So it was sturdy enough to handle a freezing.
Sure.
So they felt pretty good about sending it in.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. None of this seemed like a particularly big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm impressed you found the button like immediately.
I labeled it. So once again, the Kamloops heads out for a late season journey. Now she's carrying a mixed cargo. She's got tar paper.
Hmm.
What is tar paper?
I think that's like the precursor to shingles.
Stick it on your roof?
I think so, yeah. I think it's, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it was good for that?
I mean, it probably worked for a while.
How long?
Not long.
I need a better engineer in this podcast. Carry tar paper, paper making machinery.
Oh, so the tar paper and the tar paper machines. How perverse.
So they're ready. Oh, boy. Also carried coiled wire for farm fencing.
Hmm.
It carried piping.
Yeah.
Sure. Shoes and foodstuffs, just a big mixed bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're talking about the piping for dresses or the piping for cakes?
Gosh, I would assume cakes. The important piping,
right.
The one for cakes.
Sure.
Yeah. Is it cake or is it frozen to death? Let's find out. So the Kamloops, she was definitely heading east to west. I don't know exactly where she started out. I think she picked up her cargo right at the opening of the St. Lawrence River, like right where the, you know, the ships from England would stop. And but either way, she was going east to west. She went through Lake Ontario, took a canal to the scariest lake. Do you know what it is? It's Lake Erie. Yeah, it's not so good when it's read back to you, is it? Then she took a canal past Detroit and up to Lake Huron. Everything's going great. No problems whatsoever. You okay?
No reason to panic.
Yeah.
The piping is safe. The tar paper is safe.
We're still going to have great cakes when we get there. Yeah. We're okay. So on December 1st, which is about a week after they first set sail, the Kamloops stops off at Courtright, Ontario, to top off the cargo with some bagged salt.
Mm.
Now, Courtright is on a canal between Lake Erie and Lake Huron, not too far from Detroit, but obviously across the canal.
A safe distance.
Yeah, yeah. But not safe enough, because you could probably hit it with a rock. So, you know, if you could push that out a little bit better, that would feel pretty
good. The people of Detroit at that time had nothing but rocks and time.
So then the ship steams right up on through Lake Huron, passing through the, the Sault Marie? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Sault Marie Canal, maybe the Sault Marie Canal.
Sault Ste. Marie Canal?
Sault Marie Canal. On December 4th.
It's very late.
This is the canal between, what?
It's very late.
It's not, it's almost Christmas.
Yeah.
This is not good. So it passes through the canal between Lake Huron and Lake Superior. So the Kamloops finally hits Lake Superior on December 4th. Have you noticed, Patrick, as you've noticed, this is pretty late in the year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good sign.
Pretty cold. Pretty chilly
pretty
up there.
Pretty fucking cold. Mm-hmm. If the average for the year is 36 to 39 degrees, I feel like we're in bad territory. Mm-hmm. They anchored off Whitefish Point to wait out the... there was a winter storm that came in, and they were like, we'll just wait until it passes.
Sure. It's the middle of December. I'm sure if we just wait here long enough, things will improve. Yeah. Yeah.
And guess what? You're going to feel so stupid. It did within like 12 hours.
Oh, it goes warmed up.
There you go.
Sun came
out. Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So everything goes good?
Gosh, let's find out. So the next day, December 5th, they're like, seems okay now.
Mm-hmm.
And a big bulk freighter named the Kadok. Q-U-E-D-O-C. I can only assume Kadok. I
don't know. They're freight ship, and they also sell like iPhone chargers on Amazon and bedspreads. And
it will take, I don't know, 12 days to get to you, but it's Amazon Prime.
Really, Kadok quality is everything I need in phone charger.
Oh, boy. So a freighter named the Kadok sets out. And the Kamloops is like, well, if they can do it, we can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Worst case scenario, we tailgate this guy through the ice.
I think that's actually the plan.
It's not a bad plan if you think of how ice works.
We'll see if it's a bad plan. Let's find out. So that is the plan. And so they follow close behind the Kadok.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing is slow going because a second front has blown in.
Ooh.
At this point. Didn't see that coming.
That's why you got to watch Weather Channel. You can't just like hold your finger out the window and be like, yeah, I think it's cool. No, sir.
Nope. No. AccuWeather.com, friends. Mm-hmm. There's another and this one is even bigger than the first ice storm that came through. This is a massive ice storm on the lake. Temperatures go below 0 degrees Fahrenheit, which I think is negative 2,000
something
Celsius.
Like that. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know the numbers exactly, but I think it's close.
It's like the negative temperature of the sun, I think is what it is. Yeah, if the sun went
this
negative.
Is heat death of the universe temperatures, actually, 0 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cold. There's a lot of wind. There is snow. There is ice. And because the surface of the water is relatively warm compared to all this, there is fog.
That's not what you want.
And so visibility is absolute shit. So wind, snow, ice, fog, it's all happening.
Mm-hmm.
The people on the Kadok knew the Kamloops were following them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were fine with that, of course,
right.
I guess.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
Take our drift.
But now they can't even see, like, the brake lights. And that doesn't seem safe.
Well, and so you hit on something important. So let's see. So on December 6th, which is the day after the big storm front hits. It's still going on. Mm-hmm. On December 6th, they see the Kamloops, and it's completely covered in ice.
Oof.
I'm going to show you a picture of what that would look like. Now, this picture I'm going to show you, Pat, mm-hmm. is not of the Kamloops, but it is another Great Lakes freighter that was in a similar situation. Mm-hmm. So it just gives you an idea of like what it probably looked like.
Fair enough.
And let's see. Here it is.
Oh my. There's no more boat left. It's just ice.
It is just ice. Yeah,
it is just ice and jaunty men in peacoats. That's all it is. Just ice and peacoats. All the way and up and down.
I don't
down.
Think they're wearing gloves.
No, no, they're men. Why would you wear gloves?
Oh, good point. Good point. Sorry. I forgot. I'm a liberal cuck. But these are real men.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that looks miserable.
So when they say like the boat was coated in ice, like mm-hmm. they mean it. Like
yeah, they mean like feet of shit. Ice. Not like, oh, a couple yes. little bit of snow here and there. Feet of ice.
Like literally covered in lots of ice. Mm-hmm. So that's probably what it looked like. And then that is how the Kadok logged their sight of that.
Mm-hmm. Captain's log, boat behind us, proper fucked. Not sure what to do.
Boat behind us, not good. Shrug emoji. So they see that way on the 6th, but eventually then they lose sight of the Kamloops. Because mm-hmm. again, visibility is bad. It's mm-hmm. very bad. They lose sight of it, and then the Kamloops and the 22 men and women on board were never seen again.
Oh, sucks.
It does suck, yeah. right? Yeah. I mean,
can you get so frozen that you sink? No, ice floats. I don't understand what happens here.
I mean, fair point.
Yeah.
Fair point. Yeah. Okay,
do they drink all the scotch and just decide, you know what? I'm not going out like that.
Let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. Gosh. So I've never seen it again, at least not alive.
Okay.
No? Okay. Well, anyway, so after a few days, the ship still has not arrived at the port.
Mm-hmm.
By December 12th, which is a week later, they send out a search party. The search party looks around for 10 days, but by December 22nd, the ice made it impossible to continue.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to stop until spring. When spring finally hits, and again, this is obviously months later.
Mm-hmm.
So the ice starts to thaw. Two bodies wash ashore on Isle Royale.
That sounds fancy.
It's very nice. There's a casino. James Bond loves hanging out there.
You're not going to like how it ends, but
you will see some pretty cool celebrities in the meantime. It's an island that is technically part of Michigan, though it's basically Canada. Like if you look on the map on Isle Royale, I don't know who fought to get this as part of Michigan, but it is so far from Michigan and so close to Canada. It's really astounding. But this is the island where two bodies washed ashore. Now, the bodies were identified as crew members of the ISS Kamloops. And then in June, fishermen found seven more bodies on the island.
Ooh.
I want you to hold on to that woof because it gets a little more difficult to hear. Five of those bodies were huddled together because they had frozen to death. Temperatures, while they were lost at sea, had reached down to 38 below zero
mm-hmm.
with gale force winds. So that's not including the wind chill. One of the five people they found huddled there was 22-year-old Alice Betteridge. She had been one of two women on board. And later that year, a trapper found a bottle washed up on shore. Inside the bottle was a piece of paper from Alice. That paper read, quote, "I am the last one left alive, freezing and starving to death on Isle Royale. I just want mom and dad to know my fate. And it was signed, Al, who is dead.
Oh. That's too bad.
It's not good.
But she was on the island?
Yes.
So she makes it to the island in the middle of the bleak, bleak winter.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. And she's the last and only one alive. Interesting.
I'm sorry. What are you trying to say?
Cannibalism. I mean, all I'm saying is I'm glad the winter took old Alice because she would have had a thirst once everything thawed out.
Gosh, on the one hand, I feel like that is just terrible to say about a dead person.
Uh-huh.
On the other hand, I will say my next note here is that some of the bodies had been partially eaten by wolves.
Mm, wolves, interesting.
And that does raise some questions along your line of investigation, Pat.
I don't know a whole lot of wolves that like to go out onto the ice at 38 below with gale force winds, but I do know one particular young buxom woman.
First of all, I don't know if she was buxom or not. I don't even know what that word means, really, in terms of measurements. And I just think we can't slander someone.
We can't discount the possibility.
It's not what I was going to say, but I'm glad you said it. And we should. Are you comfortable moving on? I'm so comfortable moving on.
I've made my point.
Okay, cool. So. Of all the bodies that were on the island, five were identified. Their remains were shipped to the next of kin, but the other four were too far gone to identify.
Oh, Alice.
Just God. Not gonna get that. And hey, those were buried at Thunder Bay.
Hmm.
Poor Alice. I can't believe you're slandering.
I know. I can't believe you. I mean, I don't like it. Like that it came to this.
You don't like that you were the only one to accurately state the obvious problem after so many years.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay, well, anyway, so the Kamloops itself was nowhere to be found, and it was added to the ever-growing list of ghost ships of the Great Lakes until August 21st, 1977.
Whoa.
It's about 50 years later. A team of sport divers were just diving around the Great Lakes looking for shipwrecks like totally normal people do.
What is sport diving? Do you have like the spear gun and everything, or what is it? What is it? I don't know what that means.
Well, you're watching the Olympics, right?
No, I don't have time to do that.
It's like, oh, well, so there's an Olympic sport where they bring people over to America, no matter where the Olympics are held. They're like, okay, but sport diving happens in America, in the Great Lakes. And they're like, okay, go down. Whoever finds the most shipwrecks wins.
Okay, like a bobbing frapples type thing.
Okay. It's like that. It's like that. Yeah. You do have to come up. You have to surface with like one piece of wood in your mouth.
Right. Sure. That gives you credit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Sport diving is like, we do it, but no one will let us do it like professionally. So we're going to just.
Let's do it for sport.
Try it. So team sport divers, they're diving around and they find the Kamloops at the bottom of the lake. It's 260 feet down, lying on its side. Pretty far down.
Some deep sport diving.
I
thought this was like snorkelers. This is not snorkelers.
Oh no. Yeah. Oh no. Oh. These are I sorry if I wasn't clear earlier. These are Olympians. These are people flown in from across the world. No, these are real nerds who are going real deep. So they find 206 feet down. Now it's only 400 feet from land.
From Port Royal.
Yeah.
Oh,
Isle Royale.
So close.
They were. I mean, as the ship flows, that's very close.
But they probably couldn't even see land at that point. They probably were so close and had no idea.
I think that's probably true.
Yep. Yep. And Alice kept convincing them to go further and further out to sea. And they were like, I'm pretty sure we should just go Alice right over there.
Really? I think she was just a sweet girl. I don't know.
She was.
Okay. Well, the ship that they find is largely intact. And the cause of its sinking, even after they found it, the cause is still a mystery. Ooh. They can't tell why it sank. There's no hole in the hull, which is kind of a normal thing. Mm-hmm. Doesn't look like it fell over in a storm. They can't tell. No one knows why it sank, but it obviously definitely did. And it's down there. And now, as I've mentioned, Lake Superior is fucking freezing. Mm-hmm. And again, this boat is 260 feet down. So at that level, it's just barely above freezing, basically year round.
Hmm.
Which means
it's probably very well preserved.
The Kamloops is very well preserved.
Oof.
I have a video for you.
Oh, real video. Okay.
So I'm going to show you a video of some folks investigating this sunken ship. Now, what I will say is, you show me a video of people exploring an underwater shipwreck, fuck off.
Yeah.
Very scary every time. I have no time for this.
Okay.
See this video?
I do see a video.
All right. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing barnacles on, or not barnacles, I'm seeing like rust on probably the Scotch boiler. I'm going to imagine it's on its side, but that's what it looks like to me. Just a lot of crap, pallets and tanks, the engine for the ship, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Again, lots of rust and crap on everything.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty well preserved though, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you could tell everything, the handrails, the stairs, exquisitely well kept.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now I want to pause on this frame for a second. What do you see here?
It looks like an upside down fish dog is what it looks like to me. Like a dog.
I don't know what that means. Do you want to elaborate?
It has the profile of a dog with its mouth open.
What does?
The shiny thing that looks like a shiny fish.
Oh, so this thing? Do you want to start just talking about like the shape of the thing?
Yes, the shape. It looks like a shiny fish dog is what it looks like to me.
Boy. Mm-hmm. Any further further elaborations?
This is why we did so poorly on code names. I really don't know what you want.
I think so. I think so. That's correct. Yeah. What you are seeing here, Patrick, here in the engine room, is a human body.
Oh.
Ugh. Now, the legs have been... Some bits of the legs are missing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like sharks.
And I will say...
Yeah.
Yes. So if you're listening to this and not looking at the YouTube, this is one that I think is really going to pay off if you go and check it out on YouTube, because the imagery is really important. So this is a human. These are two legs.
Mm-hmm.
This is body.
Mm-hmm. It's buttocks right here, right? Am I looking at buttocks?
Yeah, it's torso. Torso, buttocks.
Okay.
Yes. Now, here,
mm-hmm.
my little mouse. Boop, boop.
Uh-huh.
That's eyes.
Okay. Eyes. Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I see that. Yeah. Eyes. Then the nose there in the middle.
Yep. Nose.
Got it. Mouth. Very gross. Yep. Yeah. Oh, very gross.
This is the ghost of Old Whitey.
Old Whitey.
He's also called Grandpa.
Oh, that's a nicer name.
It, I guess, is, but this is Old Whitey, and Old Whitey is a man who was a member of the crew of the ship. Yeah. Now, Old Whitey's body has gone through a process called soponification, sometimes called soapification.
Right, where your body turns into soap. Right.
I mean, essentially, yeah. The cold water turns body fat into a waxy substance that covers the body.
Mm-hmm.
And once the Kamloops was found, more divers, of course, went down to check it out. And here's a quote. Explorers began to take notice of how Grandpa's corpse would follow them from the time they entered the ship until they left.
Like from room to room?
So this is a new kind of ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And a really exciting kind of ghost where the ghost inhabits the body of its own self.
Okay.
And the actual corporeal body,
mm-hmm.
the soapified body,
mm-hmm.
follows divers throughout the ship.
Interesting.
Some people have dismissed it mm-hmm. as currents, but divers who have been down there and have seen it, they insist there is something unnatural and even intelligent in the way that this corpse moves as he follows them. And go ahead.
No, please. Go on.
Okay. Some divers have even seen both the swimming corpse and a ghost form of old Whitey, but the ghost and the corpse are never seen together in the same room.
I think I've nailed this one. I think I've figured this one out.
Okay, good. That was easy.
I don't believe the ghost of Whitey inhabits his soapified body. Do you know what I think inhabits?
What do you think?
You know what I think inhabits the body of soapified Whitey?
Is it fish?
It is not fish.
Okay.
It is something far more evil.
Is it Ursula?
It is Alice.
Okay. Well. Okay. I'll go ahead.
Yeah,
I'll
listen. She hungers for her next victim, and these sport divers keep just entering her lair willingly. She desperately wants to go out and snatch a bite. Do you have a better explanation?
Well, I mean, I would say, based on my research, I think just ghosts, just normal ghosts, just normal Whitey ghosts.
Right. Yeah, it's fine.
No?
If you want to believe that, that's totally fine.
Well, I will. There is a detail that's going to poke a hole in that. In a second here, but so this is Grandpa. Many divers say as they float through the ship, this corpse will leave the engine room where you've seen him here, mm-hmm. Pat, and will float behind them as they go through the boat,
mm-hmm.
and then as they turn to leave, will then turn around and float back to the engine room again as a fully formed fucking actual corpse of a human, yep. but that moves around in the water.
Oh, please don't tell me a video of this.
Well, Whitey has floated so close to some divers that they have been able to make out close-up details, such as a wedding ring still attached to his finger.
Oh.
It will go down. They will swim around. They will look over. There will be a corpse floating next to them, very close to them. We'll follow them around, and then we'll go back to his place when they leave. But apparently, he is not a mean ghost. He's very quiet.
Sure.
He seems to enjoy company. He spends most of his time in the engine room, but he often does swim out to meet divers as they arrive, sometimes even like swimming outside of the boat to meet them when they arrive. Oof. And then he just follows them around the ship.
It sounds like if you take your young child into a really expensive pottery shop or something like that, and the owner just like stays on you like stink on shit the whole time. Like, are you need anything? Do you need anything? Oh, are you looking at this? Okay, are you all done? Gonna go? Gonna leave? Okay.
It's okay. Like that, except he's covered in barnacles. And
so is this
white lady. And has not all the leg. but he seems pretty nice. He's never tried to drown anyone. Never tried to make it bad. He's just an animated corpse that needs a friend. So I don't think he's Alice. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe he's Alice.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Seems pretty nice. As far as ghosts that inhabit actual bodies go. Mm-hmm. And this is unique to our story, certainly, and ghost stories worldwide, in the sense that it is one of the only ghosts that supposedly inhabits an actual corporeal body, and the body is the thing that the ghost animates to chase you around, which really is fucking terrifying. So I don't know. Do you want to go?
It's kind of like the platypus of poltergeists. You know, it's like in what way? It complies with some of the poltergeist rules, but then it also doesn't comply with all the poltergeist rules. Like, oh, we can move things around as poltergeists. Like what? Well, what about my own body? Well, that's not really how we work now, is it? Well, it does in this case.
What if I inhabit my own body?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why wish I have
to inhabit? It's like, oh no, there's a body, there's a ghost inside Caroline. We gotta get it out. But now it's like, what if it's my own body that I died in?
It's easier. I have access to it all the time. I don't have to wait until the
honestly,
kids...
kind of smart.
Sort of a life hack. Afterlife hack.
But, it is kind of a life. Yeah. It's an afterlife hack. That's true. Huh.
Got it all figured out.
Well, we solved it. Any final thoughts about this, Patrick?
I think I might have had Alice all wrong. I really do. I'd like to extend my apologies out to her estate.
Please do, because we cannot afford to get sued.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're not going to use her last name, right? Good. Great. Yep. Let's keep it that way.
Okay. Speaking of All Along, you watched the Scarlet Witch, the show and the everything and
with the Vision and this stuff.
Agatha All Along, and yeah.
I watched the one that first came out. I know there's a new Agatha. Well,
Agatha
show.
All Along is coming out soon. It's not out yet, but so excited.
I wouldn't know.
Oh, fuck off! All right, well, that's an embarrassing thing.
I saw Deadpool on opening weekend. That gives me enough cred for like the next.
I don't know if
years.
It does, because it's like the one thing you do every 10 years to be like to keep that cred. Is exactly. The one thing that's like everyone's doing because it's the biggest hit in the world.
The only thing I have.
Yeah, right, I'll allow it. Anyway, so this has been something, and thank you for listening. It's been great. All the notes this week were taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were made by Patrick Deem. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our social media manager is Kai Valonis. And this has been a great and weird episode with some video content that if you're not listening to our YouTube page, which I know is a weird way to say that because you should be watching, I guess, YouTube page. If you're not engaging with YouTube, this is the one to do it because there's some video. So go check it out. YouTube, I don't know. Go to YouTube and search, is this a ghost? I wish I knew our URL. That would be helpful, but I don't. And probably youtube.com/ is this a ghost or whatever. Anyway, go check it out. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate it. And I guess I would not get on a boat in the Great Lakes past, I don't know, I would say, I'd honestly past July. And if you do, then you might be the next ghost that we talk about. And is this a ghost?